And last time I spoke to you about truth in tension, you know, that in Scripture there are sometimes what seem to be contradictory things that are both true simultaneously. Does God heal? Yes. Does God heal every time? Mysteriously, no. Right? Well, there's a tension in that, isn't there? Do we pray for healing? Yes. Does God heal every time? No. But do we still pray? Yes. Is there a tension in that? Yeah, there is a tension in that. Do we always know the outcome? No. Dang. Right? There's loads of these things. And what I've noticed is sometimes Christians get, especially as you grow in your knowledge of Jesus and as you want to be more like Jesus, there's going to be those moments of tension that you feel, I believe this to be true, but I'm not experiencing it yet. Or I believe this to be true, but I also believe something else to be true that seems to be in opposition to it, right? Should I be generous? Yeah. But also, should I be thrifty? Yeah, you should. At the same time, yeah. Dang, why can't I just be one or the other? I know, but that's how children live. Children live one or the other. Adults have to learn to manage the tension. I think it's going to really help us make great decisions in our life. We're going to talk about truth in tension, two opposing forces that we need. So my aim for this talk is to help you understand the beauty of the two doctrines of predestination and free will, and I'm going to explain to you why they're important. And to avoid the both extremes, or how you can live in the tension of the two, to be confident in making decisions and trusting God for the outcome, even if you don't understand what's going on right now, and then to live in peace while you do it, man. Is it possible to live in tension and live in peace? Yeah, it is, yeah. Is it possible to not know what's going on and be in peace? Yeah, that is the gift that Christ decides to give us. So I know there's some of you facing, I don't know what to do, but I feel all right about it. Yeah, good. That's where we all want to live, because there's a lot of the Christian life that pulls us. All right. So the context of this is when we used to run an e-group on a Thursday night, every so often, I mean, I would say every second or third week, we would have the question, yeah, but do I decide that, or does God decide that for me? Yeah, but have I got to make a decision? Or is that something that God's preordained for me to do? Am I stepping into something that God's already planned, or am I making it up on the spot? How do I know? Have you ever had that tension? Do I date this person? How do I know? Do I go for this job? Do I go to this church? What happens if I don't do it? Does God not like me anymore? How will I know if God doesn't like me anymore? How can I tell if I'm obeying God, right? There's these tensions that we manage. And so we were never far away from a predestination and free will conversation. And so I'm going to explain what those doctrines are and why you should give a rip, and then how to live, hopefully, helpfully, through the middle of it. So what is the doctrine of predestination? So this doctrine, or this set of beliefs, is that God has eternally chosen those who he intends to save. It's his decision, he came first. That's what predestination means. Before you and I existed, he decided he wanted to save us. He wanted to save humanity. It's an important doctrine in the Christian faith. So let's have a look at the first slide, my friend Joe. Oh yeah, remember that? Yeah, skip it, next one. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. This is in the book of Romans. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. And after he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. Beautiful. That is a picture of Paul the apostle writing to the church in Rome. This is the salvation journey. This is what it looks like. Before you decided to choose God, every week, before you chose God, he chose you. It's really important. You didn't initiate it. But at the same time, at some point, you chose God. But this is our commitment. This is what we believe as Christians. This is the journey of faith and salvation that we go on. You might say, well, I feel like I'm being established at the minute. I feel like I'm not necessarily on a solid basis. That's okay. Look at the last line. He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. No matter where you are in your Christian faith today, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you keep following Jesus, he will finish what he started. Not because you're so great, but because he's so great. You don't have to be all the best of anything. He's already done it and will complete what he starts within you. So within this idea of free will are two kind of tensions, and I'm going to look at one. One is, I think it's the Hasbulla slide, isn't it? Yeah. So Calvinism, it believes that according to God, according to this notion, God has determined from eternity whom he will save and whom he will reject, regardless of their faith, love or merit, or their own choice. So people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, and the Reformed guys that you might know in public media believe that there's nothing we can do. Actually, we're just chosen by God. We didn't do anything. There's no free will in it. In fact, let's go through the different columns and you can see. Calvinists believe that everybody needs a savior. Everyone needs compassion, right? So Arminians, and nothing to do with the country of Armenia, they're the school of thought that believes that people have a free will, actually. And the Free Methodist Church, of which we are a part, believe that actually we have a choice. That as much as we are chosen, we also have a choice to reciprocate that. And we're going to look at the dangers and the opportunities on both sides. So we also believe that people need a savior. Calvinists believe that God starts a salvation journey, and so do we. We believe the same, but this is where we start to differ. Humans have no choice in this salvation. That God is so almighty and so omnipotent and so powerful that he just forces himself, if you like, divinely upon you. You can't resist him. He's irresistible. But we believe, and we're going to prove it, well, hopefully prove it through scripture, although you can look at either side and look at it, it's fine. Humans have a free will to choose whether to be saved or not. And so Calvinists and people who believe in this way of thinking, only the elect can be saved. Like there are only a certain number of people who can be saved. And that means that if you're not in the elect, you don't get to choose. But we believe whosoever. We don't know who's going to be saved or not. It's up to people and between people and God. And we will never know ultimately who decides. And what this means is that Calvinists believe is once you're saved, you're always saved. Which means if God saved you, then his will is perfect. Then you submitted to God's will. Then you being saved is part of that perfect will for your life. But we believe you still have a choice to walk in or walk out if you want to. So what does that mean? That means you can deny Jesus if you want to later on in life. Now, people have got good opposition between both of those points of views, and you can be a Christian and believe either of those things, right? Because there's enough room in that Christian sphere for both of those things. But what I want to suggest to you is what you believe will affect how you live right now, and that's important for us to think about. So Arminianism is a theological movement in Protestant Christianity named after Josephus Arminius that arose as a reaction to the Calvinist doctrine of predestination, or what they call double predestination. I know it's getting a bit heavy, but it will lighten up. That's why I brought the boys in. The movement began early in the 17th century and says that God's sovereignty and human free will are compatible. That's what I believe. That's what Free Methodists believe. So the most glorious example of the doctrine of free will, I'm going to give you some examples, is in the Garden of Eden, where God has a will, remember? He has a design for life. And who decides? In Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the people of Jerusalem, and he's crying out and asking them to just listen to what he's saying. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Look at this. And you were not willing. Right? So there was the agency of God. God was at work. I've come, I'm here, but you were not willing. Believe that's something to do with free will. Revelation chapter 22 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Like, if you're thirsty, if you are desiring to, like, know God, then come. It's up to you. You can come. The invitation is open. It's a really powerful example of free will. So wherever you stand on the Calvinist or the either side, whatever you think, there's a couple of things that we need to be avoid to make sure that we don't fall into unhelpful patterns of life and walking away from Jesus. So this kind of like belief that everything is all sorted, we don't have any agency in the will of God, the problem with that can be it can lead to a kind of fatalism that que sera sera, whatever will be, will be. Have you ever seen those Christians? Terrible things are happening to them. Terrible things are happening around the world, and they think it's God's will. Because it must be God's will because it's happening. The danger of that is not everything that happens to you and not everything that you do and not everything that happens in the world that we live in is God's will. That we as Christians have a part to play in bringing the kingdom of God to the world. And we have a part to play in bringing the partnership of the kingdom into our own lives. We have agency in our own life to do with that salvation journey. If God's perfect and I don't choose him, then did he really choose me in the first place? If people leave church in this kind of way of thinking, then they are condemning themselves because they must not have really been saved in the first place. This way of thinking says, if you walk away from church, then you weren't really saved in the first place. It's tricky. Very tricky, because we don't know that. Some things are better just to say, I don't know. It challenges the idea, this way of thinking, that God loves everybody in the first place. Because what's the point of creating people if you're going to condemn them all to hell, whether they choose it or not? Right? Tricky, isn't it? Now, there's some good bits about this way of thinking, but we can become open to exploitation and manipulation because we stop thinking critically about situations and we stop using our own agency. So I know a lot of Christians who sit in churches that are just, they're badly led, they're badly, and they'll say God's told them to be there. And I was like, "Who? Explain to me how God told you to be there in a place that is detrimental. Explain that to me. Explain it to me using scripture." Because what can happen is we can allow ourselves to be open to manipulation because it must be God's will. Is it though? Is it? How do you know? Because some of us are the other side of making a decision to break out of some stuff and we're realizing, I'm not sure it was God's will. Maybe it's just how I understood God to be. Does that make sense? We can lose our curiosity and our wonder and we can disconnect spiritually because it can feel safe in our bubble of certainty. If I know everything about God, if I understand God, if I've got it now, then I don't have to have any uncertainty or any displacement. In fact, I was saying to Claire yesterday, one of the most traumatic things that happened to me in the last few years was lockdown. I had horrific dreams in that first lockdown. I was freaking out and my faith was all over the place. And a few years after lockdown, I would say my faith is more grounded, healthier, but I'm definitely changed and I definitely see God differently through this difficult event because why? I was forced out of my bubble of certainty of what I'd always known. And on the other side of it, I found, do you know what? The bubble that you thought was keeping you safe was actually stopping you experiencing the rest of God. And I don't want to live in a bubble. There's a reality about our faith that we mustn't shrink back from. It's all right. In fact, if you're struggling with things, walk towards it. We can help you with that. The struggle is good and the struggle is real. The spiritual danger of Calvinism is in believing that God is not loving enough and not good enough to save us all. So, the other side, free will. People move off now. You've seen a lot of it in churches and in Christians, and I understand why they do it. Is I don't go to church anymore. I don't really hang out with Christians anymore. I can't do with any Christian culture. And listen, I understand you. I feel you, right? There's so much of that stuff I don't want to get involved with. I've become a Christian on my own, in my own way, to my own God, doing my own thing, in my own thing. I pray to in the way that I want to pray. I read the Bible in the way that I want to read the Bible. And it becomes a hyper-individualistic faith. And the danger of that, and the reason for us sometimes disconnecting in that way are really good. We've been hurt. We've got legitimate church beef. People have treated us really bad. We've got some things that we don't understand and we don't know where to get help from. I think it's awesome that we acknowledge that stuff. And at the same time, Jesus invites us back into community. The Where do we get hurt? We get hurt in church. Where do we get healed? In church. What a pain. So we don't pray. I don't have any Christian practices. I just crack on with my life and I expect God to interrupt me if I'm off course. You ever done that? This is me. This is my jam. I got a good plan for my life, God. I'm off. You just tap me on the shoulder if you need anything. I'm so full of like plans. I have a plan and I expect God to bless it. I'm not really looking for divine direction or conviction. I'm looking for divine endorsement. Endorse the plan that I put in front of you, Sovereign Lord. And I'm there's no shade on you. That's my challenge. I constantly bring before my plans to God, look at this thing we could do. In fact, I could do. Just open the doorways of heaven and stuff and do your thing. Right, I'll see you in 6 months. Change this trick, isn't it? What's the danger of this? We can place too much faith in our own ability to guide the course of our life. Have you ever found yourself? Like, I'll have these moments of reality and be like up a mountain in France in a blizzard going, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Why am I on a red run? I can't hardly snowboard. You ever done that? Or went to Johannesburg once, got off the plane, went to a church, and the guy who I'd never met before said, let me take you to a township. And we were like, woohoo, we'll go to a township. Anyway, they said, on the way there, he was explaining how dangerous this township was. And that at night, the police don't go there. And I was watching the sun going down, and I was like, how far away is the night from here? And he's like, a couple hours. How long will we be here? And I realized, I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm going to be in the middle of a township in Johannesburg with no police around in a foreign country. And I was like, how did I get here? Or the time that I lost my passport in America and my mate had to drive me across 7 states to get an emergency passport. And I only had a bank card as proof of ID. And we pulled up in some place in the middle of Kentucky, 4 a.m. We're trying to listen to Metallica to keep ourselves awake. 4 a.m, he goes, Matt, do you want to drive? I was like, this is where life can get to really quick. He said, mate, I've got a Link bank card as ID. I'm not insured. I'm in Kentucky. I've no passport. Imagine what would befall us if I got pulled over by the police right now, right? But isn't it funny how life can, you can find yourself in a moment of, how did I get here? I don't trust myself to lead my own life. Because my threshold of risk is far too high. Claire goes, I have to go for the filter. Literally, not what would Jesus do, what would Claire do? Claire wants to manage a completely different level of risk. If she starts making faces, I know I've gone too far. Listen to the woman. We were never meant to place faith in our own good works. We put our faith in Jesus' ability and promise to save us. The danger is that when we take this gift of grace, it means that we can live however we want, which is not true. You can't live however you want. The grace is a gift to empower you to live like Jesus. So even though it's free, even though it's beautiful, even though it doesn't look like it costs anything, it costs the blood of Jesus to give it to you. Now you have a responsibility to extend that gift of grace. I have a musical ability. I have some other abilities. Now my responsibility, some of you are learning to manage your own responsibilities. What do I do with that gift? That's my response to God. We are saved by good works, but we are not saved by good works. Sam nearly fell out of a chair there. We aren't saved by good works, but we will do good works when we are saved. So good works doesn't make you a Christian, but when you follow Jesus, you will end up doing good works. All right, there are decisions that you're facing that only the other side of the decision will you see that God was involved in it. Hindsight is 20/20. I believe that just as God himself factors in the human writers into the biblical story, he also factors into our will, into his divine will. He's so good, he's so holy, he's so awesome that he's factored your will into his will. Think about that. Lost some of you, maybe. What looks like a reroute to you and me, he sees from an eternal perspective, right? Second thing, the more that you discover God's revealed will in the Bible, the more that you'll be able to understand his individual will for you personally. Really important. What's the next slide there, Joe? The more you discover God's revealed will in the Bible, the more you'll be able to understand his individual will for you. So you might be seeking a decision or something that you really need to figure out, right? Potluck Bible verses once every 6 months is not a helpful way to build a life. Understanding the big picture of scripture and understanding what God says about certain things and making decisions on those things is the best way to live, which means understanding what God says about work, about ethics, about community, so that you know I can make a decision confident that God will bless this, because I'm not looking for a Bible verse. What does God say about dating? No, what does God say about relationships? What does God say about fairness? What does God say about justice? What? Why? Because you can't just make a basis of one decision on your life or one thing that you found out about God. You have to understand what he says in the big picture. People used to come to me all the time. What do you think I should do about this job? I'm like, are you kidding? Do I look like God to you? And what I learned to do was, I used to try and answer. And what I learned to do was, let me help you study the Bible. Because then you can make the decision and go on that journey yourself. Because God won't forsake you and he won't abandon you and he won't make it difficult for you and awkward for you. But he does want, like Esther said the other week, he's not just going to download a load of instructions and download a load of gifts to you. He wants a relationship with you. And so the way you walk through navigational seasons in your life is you walk them in relationship with God. So you need to make that relationship really strong. And then thirdly, we have a big part to play in our own salvation story. God himself is ultimately, intimately, and supernaturally at work in our lives. And we don't always see and know and understand what he's up to. But at the same time, we have to make a choice. I believe God factors in our decision into his divine plan. So before we ever became a Christian, it's as though we are standing outside a door that has a sign over it saying, whoever wants to come in can come in. But when we go through that door, we look back and see a sign over the door that says called and chosen. And I just want to encourage you that we can have peace and assurance in our salvation via these promises. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So maybe you are struggling with a situation that you're facing right now. You need a decision. Maybe you're looking for a navigational thing. Maybe you're feeling a bit like me at the minute. I feel like I don't particularly emotionally feel close to God. I don't particularly feel that at the minute. But I've been around long enough to know that feelings kind of come and go. Maybe you feel far from God. Maybe you feel close to God. But wherever you are in that relationship, don't put your trust in what you understand God to be and how you feel. Put your trust in the perfection of God's ability to save you. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You're on a journey. You might not like where you are on the journey. You might be frustrated where you are on the journey. You might wish that you were closer to some sort of idea of perfection. But Jesus, as you follow him, is perfecting you across that journey. And at Kingdom Company, we want to be a place where helps you on that journey wherever you are. If you're early and you feel like, oh man, I suck at this Christianity thing. I suck at prayer. I do. I suck at it. I even go to pray and I feel like I suck at it. It's terrible. But it's like I know that that's really not the point. The point is, take your eyes off you, Matt, and just pray and just put your eyes on Jesus. Oh, okay. Right? So I believe that you can have, there is a divine plan for your life and you have a part to play in it too. So let's pray for 1 or 2 minutes and I will pray for you and then we will close. God, wherever we are today and whatever we think about you, I pray that you'd, I want to say thank you that behind the scenes you're working on behalf of us. You're working behind the scenes in our life in ways that we can't even understand. Do the mysterious stuff behind the scenes. Cause things to work out in a way that I don't understand, in a way that we don't understand. Do the stuff behind the scenes, and at the same time, prompt us to do the things that we should do. And I pray that this church would be full of people who are humble, who are open-minded enough to understand that not everything makes sense all at once. And at the same time, we absolutely have a faith in you that means that we are in peace and we're not vexed when we face trials and difficulties. In your strong name, I pray this. Amen.